Success, not just success, but a transformative success, the kind of success that transforms us into our best selves, into the highest expression of ourselves, as Oprah would say it. So it really is about that. And how do we adapt to the change that we must adapt to in order to access the insights that is needed and necessary for transformation to happen, for us to get from where we are to achieve the success we seek. And the only way to do that is through divine purpose and discovering and understanding that purpose, what it is, and really thoroughly exploring and seeking that. So I'm Coach Raquel, and welcome to the space. It is my hope that that I simulate your thinking. That's as much as I'm hoping for, that the conversation gets you thinking in any way. It's not about agreeing with me or not agreeing with me. It's not about thinking what I think, not at all. As a matter of fact, this is not even about me or you, I believe. It's really about the purpose, and I want to keep it there. So I want to start by saying, and of course, I want to share the topic first. Let me go to the topic. And the topic was recommended by someone, and I am happy to share my thoughts on it. So today's topic is, how do I stay motivated? And I'm going straight into it, okay? I'd like to invite you to inhale with me. Just inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale, feel your energy. One more time, inhale, exhale. Did you feel that power? Oh my goodness, that power. When I feel the oxygen going through my body, I just feel powerful. I feel powerful. It's that God in me. It's that God in me. So I feel alive. I feel present. I feel like I'm here. So as I'm about to begin sharing these thoughts with you, thoughts from myself, thoughts from other writers and authors and researchers, I invite you to open your mind. Judge Lynn Toller, I don't know if you watch the Divorce Course, she usually says, like when she really wants to connect with someone, she'd say, open your mind like a prairie. So just open up yourself to the possibilities of what could be, or what if, or could it be. You know, we're not here to challenge you, we're just here to stimulate thinking. So just be open to just that. Yes. Okay, so how do I stay motivated? And this is from the entrepreneur. How do I stay motivated? Now, before we can even talk about whether or not one is being motivated in their mindset or their actions or their thoughts or their desire, what does one desire? What is it you want? Because I think sometimes we ask, we think we want to do something, or we want to do something, but is there an agreement with the sense consciousness and the soul consciousness of you? Because that's where we have to begin. Yes, my senses and my internal soul, my humanity and my soul, are they in agreement? Who is desiring the information about motivation? Is it my humanity or is it my soul? Because we have to understand, the soul usually is directed and guided by the spirit, God, the Almighty, right? And if you don't believe in the God I believe in, please do not be offended. Believe in whoever you believe in. Okay, like I said, we're stimulating thoughts. Yes, the soul is connected with this spirit when we're intentional about maintaining a relationship with God. where he is able to feed us. But then there's something we have to do. We have to engage the human, the sense consciousness. And I think, or I believe, sometimes that is where we have the challenge. It's not so much, am I motivated or am I not motivated? It is, how do I control the human in me, or how do I how do I get my soul consciousness to have greater power in what I do than my sense consciousness? How do I do that? How do I make sure that the physical is not what's leading the soul, but the soul leading the physical, as in my intrinsic self? There's a process that we use, that I use in my coaching, called authentic vocation, right? And this program is geared towards entrepreneurs, creators, people who come to live in purpose, people who desire to live in their divine purpose. That's what this show is for. That's who this show is for. So this is not a religious program, right? But to connect with purpose, we have to go to the spiritual. Because no matter what we do on our own, if God ain't in it, it isn't going to happen. And sometimes that's where the how do I stay motivated come from. Because there is a conflict between the soul consciousness and the sense consciousness. So today it is my hope to share information with you that will stimulate your own thinking to help you cultivate ways of ensuring that your soul consciousness is what's leading you. It's not because we're weak or we lack power or we lack creativity or capacity or ability why we become more caught up in the physical. Is that if you look at it, right, we have the five senses, and there's this thing called attention. And we draw attention through our senses, right? Because we're being. We draw attention through our senses. I smell. I taste. I feel. I hear. I see. All of those things are attention. Is getting our attention, is attracting things to our sight, our humanity, right? And the thing is to connect with soul consciousness, it's internal. We have to go on the inside. And that becomes challenging because a lot of us don't even want to spend time with ourselves. I'm not talking about what we talk about. That sense consciousness likes to proclaim different things. Oh, yes, I am this and I am that. All sense consciousness. But what is the soul saying? What is the soul knowing? Yes? In his book, The Fifth Agreement, A Practical Guide to Self-Mastery, a Toltec wisdom book, his name is Miguel Ruiz. Yes, he's the one that wrote The Four Agreements as well. This book is so powerful. I love this book. In this book, he says, the mastery of the human mind requires complete control of the attention. The way we interpret and react to information we perceive from inside of us and outside of us. Isn't that powerful? Let's read that again. The mastery of the human mind requires complete control of the attention. Now, before you disagree or question this, as a marketing person, as a media professional, as someone who designs content that I want people to uptake and get and become interested in, that is fact. Because you see, what we do as marketers is study you more than you study yourself. So we can learn what will hold your attention. Hence, the television was created. Attention. Movies. Hollywood is probably the most, the wealthiest place, right? Or the place that has the most, the wealthiest of people participating in work, right? And creativity. What do they do? Capture attention. Attention. So when you ask, how do I stay motivated? It sounds to me, or could it be, that you're asking, how do I get my humanity? The conscious, how do I get my soul consciousness to have complete control of my sense consciousness? How do I get my intrinsic self to have complete control over my humanity, my physical world? It means that your internal or intrinsic or soul consciousness needs to do the things that will gain the attention. So you have to ask yourself, what is it that's out there that is more attractive to me than what's on the inside of me? What is out there that is more attractive to me than what is on the inside of me? Because when you answer that question, once you're truth about, you're able to be truthful about it, then you can begin to start cultivating within you what you seek. How do we do that? How do we do that? So what is motivation? And before I read that, I want to share something with you about authenticity. Authenticity. Inauthentic people are people who say one thing and do another. People who feel one thing but say another. People who think one thing but do another. Authenticity is the opposite of this. Authenticity is the opposite of this. When we are authentic, we align our minds, our mouths, our hearts, and our feet. In other words, we think, say, feel, and do the same thing with complete congruence. This is how we become real. The fifth agreement, the mastery of the human mind requires complete control of the attention. The way we interpret and react to information we perceive from inside of us and outside of us. The Toltec understanding that each one of us is just like God. And the Bible tells us that, right? We were created in his image and in his likeness. And for me, the most powerful part is where he said, in his likeness, God likes me. He designed me in a way that he liked. Who am I to dislike what God liked? What he calls a masterpiece. And so, yes, just like God, but instead of creating, we recreate. And what do we recreate? What we perceive. That is what becomes the human mind. See, the human mind is our own virtual reality, you know. It's a reality that we've created. If we can understand, I continue to read, if we can understand what the human mind is and what the human mind does, we can begin to separate reality from virtual reality. Or pure perception, which is truth from symbology, which is art. Self-mastery is all about awareness. And it begins with self-awareness. First, to be aware of what is real, and then to be aware of what is virtual, which means what we believe about what is real. With this awareness, we know that we can change what is virtual by changing what we believe. What is real, we cannot change, and it doesn't matter what we believe. So, what is real? What is real? When we look outside, for example, at a tree, let's use the tree as an example of what is real or what isn't. When we look at it, what we see is an object, really. Or what you, and again, words is symbols. So I'm even by telling you, even by saying to you object, the use of the word object is not real, it's symbol. But the tree that we perceive, the thing that we see standing is real, right? So for example, let's say you walk outside and you see what I call a tree. And if you know the English language, you may agree with me that, yeah, a tree is something that has the wood going up and some leaves coming out of it. Yes? Now, you'll only agree with me if you knew if you understand the English language, number one, and you understand the meaning of the word tree in the same way that I understand it, right? Which means that all of those understandings are really just us using symbols to communicate or share information about what we have perceived. The perception, the authentic perception, or what we have perceived rather, seeing the object, seeing the thing that we now call tree, that's real. Seeing it is real. It is real because God created it. It's right in front of us. But even calling it a tree is a symbol, right? And we do that with the things in our lives and create a virtual reality. That's what we create, this mind, this space in our where we have all this information and these ideas and meanings about them, right? So we're talking about motivation. In other words, how do I get my intrinsic true self, the self that's undefined, the self that's untouched by the world, that God created, how do I get that to become the one in control? How do I give that one complete control of the senses, the mind, the thing I'm creating with these symbols that other people created, that I'm recreating consistently? How do I go from recreating to creating, in other words? Right. So I'm sharing on my screen. I'm sharing with you some information about motivation, how motivation manifests in us, or what is motivation based on research and you know, what a lot of people agree upon. Right. Because life and getting by and functioning and operating and success, all of these things are based on agreements. So your motivation is your natural drives, your intrinsic drives. They're unconscious, not conscious. So in other words, it's your intrinsic self, soul consciousness. They predict types of behavior a person will gravitate towards over time. They're very basic. They keep it simple. They're influenced by early emotional experiences and perhaps is even genetic. Important to remember, influenced by early emotional experiences, especially emotional trauma. And they're more difficult to change. Because to change these is to change intrinsically who you are. Yes. We're talking about how do I stay motivated? How do I stay motivated? Why do you want to be motivated and what do you want to be motivated for? What's the goal? Is it purpose? Now, understanding what I said before, you can understand that motivation, what motivates you, controls you, right? Whatever gets your attention controls you. Wherever you invest your attention controls you. Wherever you invest your attention rewards you. So what's the reward you've been getting? Is it what you're wanting? Because you're getting something, right? Because it's an investment you're making. When you lend your attention to something, it goes with your time as well, right? And your time is your money. That's your real currency. It is your time that you exchange to get money. Time is a real currency. So imagine when something has your complete control. And oftentimes we're always seeking to go outside of ourselves. But before we even think of going outside of ourselves, have we taken the time to learn and understand and know that internal self, that soul self, right? That soul self. So to stay motivated, it's important, or to become motivated in a way that your soul can be happy, you have to pursue divine purpose. There's no way around it. You have to understand or learn on earth, why am I here? I did not make myself. When you pick up a hammer, there's an understanding and an agreement based on the symbol of language that we use, that when you pick up a hammer, the hammer was created and designed to force things into other things, right? What sometimes we call a nail, or sometimes it could be a piece of wood. It doesn't have to be a nail, right? But when we pick up that hammer, we know the purpose of it. Or we assume a purpose based on what we see, right? Now, you did not create you. So when you get up in the morning, how do you know what you're supposed to do today? If you are not consulting with the master, the maker. If you don't understand what your divine purpose is. So we're busy trying to find divine success, and there is absolutely no success without God. And if the question comes to your mind, so how is it those people who are so sinful, the wealthy people who are not Christians are wealthy? They're not Christians, says who? Says who? Your sense consciousness? Your perception? Your understanding of them? Do you know their soul consciousness? What we perceive isn't an issue. It's the meanings we add after the perception that throws us into a bind. Because we start assuming things and creating meanings for things and saying what is, and then we make it real for us. We make it facts. The mastery of awareness, the mastery of transformation, and the mastery of love, intent, or faith. These are the three masteries of an artist, a creative, a creator, you, me. Identify and pursue God's purpose. That's where you start. With connecting or empowering soul consciousness so that it can get complete control. Yes, we start with identifying and pursuing God's purpose. And for some of us, you see, God, we like to function alone, but that is not God's plan. Every different person has a different purpose.
And if when purpose comes together, we help each other get there, right? So for that, you may need to seek a coach who has the tools, the gift, the talents, the interest, the motivation to help you identify purpose and pursue it. Yes? Because that's about what purpose is, when you connect with God's will for you. And the next key is, if he appoints you, he will reward you. So this is what you have to ask yourself. If I don't have what I want, am I still pursuing in pursuit of purpose? We call it the Deborah effect in my mindfulness and ministry masterclass, which is currently on Udemy. You can get it if you want or not. When God appoints someone, there's always a reward. Always. The trick is, what's his appointment? And sometimes we spend our entire life trying to figure it out and just having pieces of it here and there. One, many of us don't want to do the work to change, because our human consciousness, this thing they call what I naturally do, we actually believe in that phrase and hang on to it for dear life and make it the controller of attention, as opposed to, who am I in soul consciousness? Who did God design me to be? What was his purpose? And this is what I do all the time. I sit down and I say to myself, if I'm desiring $1 million and I don't have it, I am not in complete purpose. I'm not. I'm not. If what I'm wanting, desiring, isn't coming to me, there's a disconnect. There is a disconnect between my soul consciousness and my human, my sense consciousness. There's a disconnect, right? Like Christ the third, the fulfillment of purpose is sown in pain. To keep us motivated to his will. Motivation is not your problem. We're always motivated. What you need to figure out is, what am I motivated to do? You see, you're always motivated because your motivation is attached to the pains of your life. And it starts with your early childhood trauma. But guess what happened? The world who seeks consumerism is constantly taking you away from that pain. And you're happy for it too, because you don't want to feel the pain. And then what God has to do is introduce brokenness in our lives, breakdowns, to redirect us back to breakthroughs, or we would just be miserable in our happiness, right? Because all of this, what this world, the television is supposed to make us happy. This is supposed to make us happy. That is supposed to make, everything is just grabbing our attention. Let's go on vacation. Still not happy. Still not at peace. We're talking about, how do I stay motivated? How do I stay motivated? So we'll be talking about perceiving what we perceive and how we recreate what we perceive instead of creating. The power of the paradigm. The power of the paradigm. Have you ever seen any, for those who are listening and are not seeing my screen, if you're on YouTube, you'll see my screen, but if you're not, have you ever come across any images that when you look at it, it has multiple reflections? Right? So, for example, you may see an image of a woman But then if you look deeper, there's a different picture there. And there can be many pictures there. It's really based upon who you are. It's really based upon who you are and how you're perceiving and how and the meanings you're adding to what you're perceiving. Right? So the image I'm sharing, you have a seasoned woman versus a young woman drawing. It depends on who you are and how you perceive it and what you will perceive from this. So you have to ask yourself, who is really controlling or impacting what I'm doing? Is it the external world or is it me? When someone says something to me that I conclude that upsets me, did they upset me? Or did I add meanings to what I perceived? And the result of that was them being mean or them hurting me or them upsetting me or, you know? We're talking about motivation. Right? How do I stay motivated? How is habit formed? Through knowledge, skill, desire. Knowledge, skill, desire. It's so interesting because as I was going through the book, The Fifth Agreement, he raised some things and I'm like, just the very thoughts I was already thinking, you know, I connected with someone who was also thinking that. And it was just so interesting to me because what is knowledge? And it made me go back to think when God said to not eat off the tree of knowledge, right? I think I got it right. Right. Yes. What is knowledge? The author writes in the Fifth Agreement, the truth is that all of our knowledge, 100% of it, is nothing more than symbolism or words that we invent for the need to understand and express what we perceive. Think about it. Every word in our mind and on this page is just a symbol. But every word has the power of our faith because we believe in its meaning without a doubt. Challenge it. Let me speak to a Chinese person and read that exactly as I read it just now. And will they understand me? No. Because they have their own symbols and it's not called English. If you're hearing disturbance outside my window, I apologize. There are some people next door doing things, but let's move on. Let's stay focused. The truth is that all of our knowledge, 100% of it, is nothing more than symbolism or words that we invent for the need to understand and express what we perceive. See, what we perceive is truth. Before we start adding any explanation, any description, any words, anything, it's true for you because you can look at a tree and see something different from me. Which is why sometimes when you're working with people, if you don't take the extra effort to understand who they are and how they interpret things, you end up in a bind. But if you don't spend enough time on you, why would you spend enough time on somebody else to get to know them when you don't even know you? How can you possibly be motivated to please them? We talk about being servant and we come to serve. We come to serve. Do we? Are we serving? Are we serving? And who are we serving? Or are we so busy that all we're doing is getting by? When knowledge, desire, and skill intersect, habit is created. When what we believe we know, what we believe we can do, and what we believe we want, when those three things intersect, habit is created. Now, where does soul consciousness come in knowledge or even skill and your personal desires? Where's God right there? If you don't know who you are, if you don't know what your purpose is. Food for thought. How do I stay motivated? How do I stay motivated? When you ask that question, are you asking, how do I take control from God? Is that what we're asking? How do I run things in my life instead of having God do it? Nothing happens without God. Nothing. Nothing. This morning when I started the show, that's not what I had planned. He did his own thing. That was not what I had planned. That's not how I planned on starting it. And the words were just coming out of me. And I allowed it. Because before I came on, I asked him to have his way and to shatter my agendas. If you want to be motivated or connect with your motivation, you have to be willing to face the pain of who you are. You have to be willing to become embarrassed. You have to be willing to sit down and let people tell you how you're showing up to them. And that doesn't mean you have to believe it. Just perceive it. Just receive, be open to hearing it, to just receiving it. Then you can do your own introspection, so search your own self and see, is there any potential agreements here with this person before you start making an agreement? Some of us hear something and just agree without thinking about it, without consulting soul, without meditating on it, really going inside and say, is there anything in this that I can agree to? Not if it's truth or not truth, but is there anything in what they said that I agree to? That sounds familiar to me. That two, three other persons have said to me that I, when I'm at my truest self, knows about me. Maturity comes with time, change, growth, breakdowns. And success comes with maturity. Let me say that again. Success comes with maturity. And I'm not talking about age. I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about soul consciousness. When you were a child, you didn't ask anyone about motivation. You were just motivated. You were motivated to play. You did what you wanted to do. You played. You had a good time. You did. As a matter of fact, when we're kids, we do exactly what we want, and we're very clear about what we don't want, what we don't like, what is not in agreement with who we are. We're very clear. And then we start acquiring knowledge. And sometimes the more knowledge we get, the more our maturity depreciates instead of accumulate or appreciate. Think about it. Sometimes the more mature we become is the more dependent we become. Dependence is when you do it. Dependence is when you say you do it. You need to do this. You're actually depending on someone when you allow someone else to do it. We're talking about motivation. Independence is I do it. Interdependence is we do it. This might hurt some of the people that I'm around. But I literally had to look back in caring for myself. Like last night, I couldn't sleep at all. I was just going through a lot of thinking. Thinking with myself, like, I have been denying me. I have been the independence for me and everybody else. Without any real value coming back to me. No real value. Words, mm-hmm. Presence, mm-hmm. But no real value. You see, nobody will value you more than you value yourself. And if you feel depleted, it's because you don't value yourself. And when I'm depleted, it's because I am not valuing myself. God wants us to get to a place of interdependence. How do we get there? How do we both show up and say, together I do it? Imagine being a room full of like 100 people who says, I do it, and we all say together, the power of that. Who cares how you do it? Nobody asks for that. But you see, we start saying, but I don't know how to do it. Not because we don't know how to do it, but because we don't want to do it. But instead of saying, I don't want to do it, we say, I don't know how to do it. See? Because we're in an age of Google, right? I'm talking about authenticity, soul consciousness. Be offended if you need to be offended. But check yourself. I have to check myself if I'm talking about motivated. If I really truly want to walk in purpose and just be motivated, my God. Let me tell you something. I love God, but every time I get up and I'm just in my purpose and I'm just in it and I'm just, I have such drive. I don't even get, like last night I worked until about 2 o'clock and I got up the morning about 7 o'clock or so. I was working from like 7 to 2. That is motivation. And that's not because I am good at anything. It's because I am connected with my purpose. And so God empowers me. And so not even the human body does not deter me. You are also doing something between 7 to 2 o'clock in the mornings. That's what you're motivated to do. Whatever it is, you're choosing it. Whatever it looks like, you are choosing it. And if somebody say, oh, but I'm not sick, or, you know, I'm sick and I have to go to the doctor and I need medication, you are choosing it. You're not powerless. You are not powerless. You're not powerless. You are a creator. So now I'm going to talk to you about your circle of concern and your circle of influence. Let's start with your circle of concern, because if you look at yourself and think, no, but I was really sick, or I was really incapable, or I really didn't know how to do that thing, it doesn't mean that you are intentionally trying to deceive someone, but you are deceiving yourself. Because it isn't truth. It's what you are, it's the interpretation you're assigning to what you're experiencing, to what you're perceiving happening. You are creating it and recreating it. So for example, God is good. Oh, hallelujah. Been holding back that hallelujah for a while. A woman bleeds every month. But I've never heard a woman say, oh my God, I'm going to die because I'm bleeding. Kids maybe, or someone who's experiencing it for the first time. Like I was watching this movie, Anne with an E. And when she had her period for the first time, she thought she was going to die. Why did she think that? And why did she stop thinking that? Knowledge. See? She was made to believe that this particular bleeding won't kill you. Glory to God. I'm not preaching or anything, but it's just God. But if her hand gets cut and it's bleeding, it's a different approach. And it's all because we believe it. We apply our faith to it. And if you say, but yeah, your hand can be cut and I can bleed to death. You didn't bleed to death. God took your life. He was ready for you. Nothing happens without the Almighty God. Nothing happens without the Almighty God. We have the power of faith to believe. So let's talk about our circle of concern. And you need to be asking yourself, what am I believing about my circle of concern? The things I worry about and I'm constantly worrying about. Yes? The things I'm constantly worrying about. The circle of concern are the things you worry about. You have the personal things you worry about. You have the professional things you worry about. Your health, your wealth, your this, then that. Do I have that? Do I have that? Oh my God, I can't do this. But there's a you standing right here declaring all of that. If you are so incapable, how are you able to be telling me that you're sick? How are you able to come tell me that you're bleeding to death? If you're here, if you can tell me, you can change it. You have power to change it because you're here. So we have to be conscious. And I'm not saying it isn't important. I'm not saying your concerns aren't important. Please understand me. We're talking about motivation. So are you motivated to be in your circle of concern, or are you motivated to be in your circle of influence? Now, your circle of influence is where you decide, you choose. This is where you choose to give complete control of attention. So when you're in a circle of concern and you keep saying, this is happening to me, you're giving your complete control of attention to the physical manifestations of what's happening to you. And the things you're believing and appointing to take control of you. But what if you were to say, okay, maybe my circle of influence is small, but I'm going to pump my attention there. What can I do about it? Even if it's one small thing. Or what? Okay, let's say you're on your dying bed. That's a major concern. You have a fatal disease. You're dying. How does focusing on it empowers, serves? Oh, how does it serve? How does it motivate you to power? How does it motivate you to success? What if the only circle of the only influence you have at that point is your voice, people who can you, so you can speak and they can echo for you, and you can create change and empower people and inspire people, huh? We're talking about motivation. I'm not telling you how to be motivated, but I'm just sharing some thoughts and ideas and research with you to allow you the power to choose how you use it. How do I stay motivated? And we're very close to the end of the show. So let me just go through this, right? Your circle of influence is where you're able to be proactive. So if you're not being proactive, but you're stuck in your circle of concern, you need to ask yourself, is this thing that I'm committing to doing something I actually want to do? Because you see, this is it. When you show up in your circle of influence, you are actually communicating to the person that this is not something I want to do. But you're trying to convince them without even having convinced yourself. You're seeking to convince somebody else that you want to do something that your soul doesn't want to do. So you show up dishonest. You show up unaware. And this is the funny thing about this. And this is why silence is so powerful. Most times the people who talk the most are the people who lack self-awareness. Because they talk the most because they're busy explaining. They're in this knowledge sphere. They're existing in knowledge, in a place of knowledge and skill and desire. And none of that is soul consciousness. All of that is external. And those are the people who say, you do it. I don't have a skill. I'm too sick. I'm too this. I'm too that. Because they're denying themselves. How can you matriculate from there? Because that's where consequences come in and mistakes. Yes. But you could also be a light. You could also be a model. You could also be a part of the solution. It's a choice. It's a choice. Right? Do you own your mistakes? Do I own my mistakes? Do I own my mistakes and shortcomings, especially when you're working with clients, entrepreneurs? We were in a meeting the other day with three persons. I was there. I was chairing the meeting because I called the meeting. And when I remember in the meeting, someone had something to say, and I said, you say that through the chair. Albeit, it could be very well that when I say it for them, it could have sounded crass. For them, in their interpretation, it could have been that I sounded mean. In their interpretation, it can be so many things. And he just threw a tantrum. And in that moment, dishonored his commitment, demonstrated his tantrum, his childlike tantrum, and also demonstrated lack of self-awareness, lack of knowledge, lack of information. Because what I did was so basic, and that's what people do in meetings. And that's one way to look at it. Because I'm sure he looked at it differently. And so in the meeting, I decided to choose to see pain, to choose to see hurt, because I'm calling upon myself as well. The only person I seek to change is me. If in that process I'm able to inspire and empower, glory to God. Give him all the praise because I did not do it. I didn't do it. So I'm constantly on a journey to change every single day so that I can deny my sense consciousness, and that is living in pain. No pain lesser than if you were in the hospital with broken legs. Or you think you have a sickness that you need medication for. It's the same thing when you live in your truth and you get up every day and you do that. It's painful. Sometimes I wish my pain was visible to the human eye. Because maybe the compassion would be better. The understanding would be better. And that's why sometimes, let me change that. That's why we stay in our circle of concern, because we're trying to make other people aware of the purpose pain that we're going through.
And so we attribute it to what we think they may see or can understand to give us some compassion and support. We're talking about being motivated. The natural thing, the human thing, the normal thing to do is to stay in that circle of concern. It takes a leader. It takes God. It takes purpose to rise above that and bear the pain that no one sees but God and outperform anyway. You see, I do that because I'm not coming back human. Like Oprah said, I want to come back angel status. I don't want to do this again. So I have to connect with purpose and live in my pain if that's what it takes to fulfill God's purpose. And that is what it takes, because motivation is in pain. Breakdowns bring about breakthroughs. Your greatness is in your brokenness. I am never embarrassed. I'm never ashamed, because I do not agree with those things. I don't have to agree. Correct me anywhere, anytime, anyhow. Thank you. Thank you. Please hold me accountable. Bring me into self-awareness so I can be motivated. So I can connect with the real me. Does your client think you're a critic? Does your client experience you in your truest self? How do I stay motivated? So in closing, I want to share this with you. It's something I learned and it has really helped me. 5 steps to increasing motivation. Do a self-assessment, or if you can't pay to do it, thank the people around you who bring you into the consciousness of who you were, of how you're showing up. It's expensive what they do. So the next time you think someone embarrassed you or called you out, yeah? Pay them. Pay them for it. Because doing that self-assessment the right way isn't cheap. Many of us take up the free ones, and the free ones are the ones they give you to go figure it out yourself. You need purpose to connect with you to figure that out. There's somebody that God sent with a purpose to work with you, to help you. And sometimes those people show up as people who you think don't like you because they keep it real with you. They show you the pain and they mirror what's on the inside of you that you just don't want to accept. But in so doing, you're denying your authenticity and giving your full, complete control of your attention to the world, to your human consciousness, your sense consciousness. Oh, I see that and I like it, so yes, I'm going to have it. Sense consciousness. What does the soul say about that? So we marry someone who we know in our soul we don't love, we don't like. It's not in the likeness that is in harmony with our purpose. But they give great sex. And they look good. And they say the right things. Do a self-assessment. And like copyright, you have the poor man version. Listen to people who tell you how you show up. I never said believe or accept or agree. I said listen and assess. What they're telling you is not necessarily about you, is how they're perceiving you. So that should stimulate internal assessment as opposed to being busy focusing on what you heard or saw. Do the work. Go deeper, do it different. Define the desired state. So somebody, for example, in the meeting when I was there, my chest hurt so badly that I literally had to
mentally get myself out of what I thought was going to be a heart attack. And I'm not exaggerating. I spoke to myself and I prayed and I spoke to God and I said, God, help me do this. And I continued what I was doing. And I did not allow myself to divert to my circle of concern. And I never mentioned it until I was in a safe zone where I felt I was still feeling a little faint pain, but I was okay now. Because I thought I was either going to have a heart attack or a panic attack. And then I said something to the person that was there. That was my way of breathing. And I was able to realize that if I felt pain when he did what he did, chances are he felt pain when I did what I did. Because we attract. Okay? We attract. So I know he felt the pain I felt. Because if he didn't feel it, then I wouldn't have felt it. We're talking about motivation. 5 steps to increasing motivation. And I told you, 1, self-assessment. 2, define the desired state. So for me, it was painful. I was in pain. I was hurt. I was disappointed. Yes. Set goals, 3, and take steps to achieve them. Get an accountability partner. If you had the capacity to do everything on your own, you would have done it. Get help, interdependence. But when you show up to get help, be prepared to give something, to receive something. Be prepared to be broken and to sit in the pain. Be prepared to appreciate the value. Compensate people. Because it's the only way you become compensated. If you don't pay people for services, people will never pay you for services. We attract. You're getting what you're giving. Number 4, repeat the new motivation or behavior with emotion. With emotion. Remember, it's knowledge, skill, desire. So find a way to influence your knowledge, your skill, and your desire through soul consciousness. Influence it through soul awareness. Connect with the God you know and believe, your creator. Connect with them. You don't have to believe in God the way I do. You don't have to call him God. You don't have to call him or it or whatever. I don't care. We don't need to. That's besides it. That's not important. Connect with your soul. The Holy Spirit. And the funny thing is, usually, we think that is hard to do. It's simple. What comes easily, go towards it. That's it. Obedience. Let go. But we keep denying the things that come easy, searching for something new. Gratitude. Gratitude. 5 is find interpersonal and situational support. Go to the right people for support, not just anybody. I want to thank you for having joined me today. Way over time. I'm 13 minutes over time. So I just want to repeat this for you. 5 steps to increasing motivation. 1, do a self-assessment. 2, define the desired state, as in not just where you are, but where do you want to be? Where is it that you're seeking to get to? But first you have to identify where you are and where you want to, and differentiate that from where you want to go. So you don't end up in a circle. Again, for the meeting, I was feeling pain. That was my defined state. But what I wanted to do was to focus on what I was doing and get through that. I wanted to get to I didn't want to die. I wanted to live. I didn't want to have a panic attack or a heart attack or whatever everything that it is that I felt that I was enduring. I wanted to survive it. That motivated me to not focus on my circle of concern, but to go into my circle of influence. And at that time, my influence was to pray, to breathe, and to continue engaging in the meeting. It was a choice. It wasn't automatic. Nothing you do is automatic or naturally, quote, air quotes. naturally. Naturally is sense consciousness. We are souls having a human experience. We're not humans first, so we have a choice. But you see, people say that because they want to give facts, factual reasons to remain where they are. And sometimes you have to leave them where they are, in their natural state. Because when natural and soul comes together, they must clash. They have to clash. Authenticity and inauthenticity come together. It must clash. So who are you in harmony with? 5 steps to increasing motivation. 1, do a self-assessment. 2, define the desired state. Where do you want to be? What does it look like? Write it out, draw it out. Yes, be clear. And some of us just say we want money or we want house or whatever. Those things don't bring happiness. So if you're asking for house and money and those things, but what you truly want is happiness, it's not going to come. You have to ask for what you really desire. Don't ask for a bridge to what you want. Ask for what you want. Do a self-assessment, 1. Define the desired state, 2. 3, set goals and take steps to achieving them. 4, repeat the new motivation or behavior with emotion. 5, find interpersonal and situational support. We're talking about motivation. How do I stay motivated? Thank you so much for joining me today. Thanks to each person who joined me today. I value you. I appreciate you. And I hope that the information I shared was of value to you. This has been Finding Happy with me, Coach Raquel. Thank you so much for listening. I am purpose-driven. It's not personal, it's purpose. When you see me, there's deeper than what meets the eyes. There is a soul, a spirit, a divine purpose. I am being. Join me Thursdays at 10 a.m. Finding Happy on UME Radio, Thursdays at 10 a.m.